This is the Neds NRL Punting Podcast with Jarrell Yao Yi, Oscar Panifex, Liam Fogarty, and Jared Timms.
We have arrived at the penultimate round of the NRL regular season and episode 26, season 2 of the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Yep. My name is Jared Timms. Sitting at this table, one of our clubs has been eliminated, one is on the verge of elimination, and the final one also won't win a premiership this season, so who really cares?
That they won't make remember any sense. Any of them. It doesn't make any sense what you've just said.
Welcome, Jarrell Yao Yi. How are you?
It's good to be back. I love this time of the week. Love getting with you guys and talking all things rugby league, and there's a lot to cover this week, isn't there?
Boy, there is a lot to cover this week, and let's bring him in for the first time today. Oscar Panifex from Rugby League Writers. We're going to be talking to you an awful lot today.
Yeah, well, g'day, boy. Actually, no, not g'day. I'll say kia ora, my bros. Yeah. Because up the Waz, bunnies are out of the eight, so I'm getting on the Warriors bandwagon. Oh, let's go, baby, let's go.
That is so easy to do.
We're just warming up for Liam Fogarty's return next week by having another turncoat at the table here.
Happy to do it.
Absolutely outstanding. Now, we are missing a fourth this week because the AFL podcast have just completely shat the bed, and they've decided to record at exactly the same time as
that's
us.
That's all right. I do my best work in a threesome anyway, so
very good. Soon to find out. I've always said that. Shows you what a great bloke Ryan is, though. He's still done us up a copy of the offload, so the three of us will fumble our way through that.
Well, it just really shows that where he wants to be.
Yeah,
really.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Priorities very clear.
It's like going to parole, being in in the AFL punting podcast. Like, got to turn up every week. I don't want to, but I got to go.
Yeah. All right, well, let's get stuck into it, and let's just rip off the Band-Aid here, Oscar. South Sydney, what is going on?
Done. I'd love to hear your guys' opinion. Yeah, I think they're done. I think they're done. Well, I mean, yeah, obviously there's a chance that they turn it around and beat the Roosters in round 27. But, I mean, I've sat on this podcast this year and talked about the Sharks being done, about the Dragons being done, the Titans being done. So I think it's only fair that I take my licks. And if this wasn't my team, I'd be looking from the outside in and saying they were done too.
Interesting. Okay. Very, very, very interesting. I don't know where I was going to go with that. What I was going to say is they've got the bye this week. Then they play the Roosters the following week.
Yes.
Is it North Queensland that are the bigger concern here? They play the Finns this week, and then if they win the following week and Souths lose, that's how it works, right?
Yeah, I think if Cowboys win their last two games, they might leapfrog both Rabbitohs and Roosters and sneak into eighth, but they do have Penrith next week. And, I mean, we've seen Penrith clean up sides even when they've rested half their squad as well. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Penrith rest a few of their key players in round 27. I still think they probably should get Cowboys, though.
It is difficult for the Roosters, though, isn't it? They've got a massive, for and against.
Yes.
They're massive against, don't they?
Yeah, I think we haven't seen a side be minus 100 ever make the eight before.
Really? So, is that what they're working with?
Yeah, I think
over minus 100.
Which is interesting.
Yeah, for a long time it would be.
If the Raiders have minus 108 right now.
Well, there you go. Yeah, that's what I was just about to talk about, because, the Raiders are up in the top five at the moment, and they are 108, which is pretty crazy. Just back on the South for a second.
Yep.
It sort of started to spiral out of control when Trell sort of had that injury in camp in Origin camp and in Origin camp one.
Yes.
Thinking back and in hindsight, it's a beautiful thing, but do you reckon, even sending him to those camps might have probably, did it worse off? It's because it's really put a bit of a damper on their season, because it's interrupted a lot of what, their, I think we even spoke about it at one stage, it interrupted a lot of New South Wales plans throughout the series as well.
Yes.
And I know he's a big time player. I know he's a big player. Mm. I won't say he's a big time player at the moment, because we're not seeing
he
a lot
can
of that.
Be a big time
he can
player.
Be, yeah. And he probably will be, he's got a lot of career left, but, would it have been better for them and New South Wales and the Rabbits if they just went, we just need to get you right. We're not even going to worry about thinking about having you week in and week out. Maybe they would have went somewhere more important, because I felt like, as a Rabbitohs fan, you could probably speak on this, but you just felt like you were always waiting for him to come back.
Yeah. How many times have we talked about on this body about Trell Mead coming back in, and then he was ruled out for another few weeks.
Yeah.
I think that definitely hurt. South's had other injuries at the same time. Campbell Graham's been needling a sternum since about round 10, and it was quite obvious that he's not physically 100%.
No.
The way that Brabham Best and Kalen Ponga tore through him last week. And then, I think the forward pack, South have been decimated this year. Every team deals with injuries, so it's not an excuse, but you know, Jai Arrow, Junior Totola, Hame Sele, Tom Burgess. None of them have played, you know, consistent regular first grade this year. And you look at the numbers last week. I mean, it's only one game, and numbers only say so much. But Cameron Murray was the only South Sydney forward to run for over 100 metres last week.
Wow.
Will this be the first time in many, many years if they don't make the eight, they'll miss the eight?
As long as I can remember. Yeah. Maybe the year after. Was it after the Grant? Was it 15? That we might have slumped a little bit.
I think it was 15 as well. But yeah, they're looking like it sucks to be in this position. I mean, you know exactly where it's like.
This is new territory for me.
Yeah, but I mean, you know, we've been there, the Broncos, you know, for the last couple of years before this year and last year. So we understand. I get it. I suppose the other situation with. What did you think of the situation with Latrell over the weekend and how that went? What are your thoughts on that?
A couple of key penalties that he gave away that led to tonight's tries, and then obviously.
Well, we'll talk about the main one.
What
do you think? The one that's going to sit him out for 1 week. What are your takes on it? Because I've got a take on it.
Well, you go, Oscar.
No, I think it's a shit look.
Yeah.
It was clearly a deliberate dog act from a frustrated guy in a losing team.
Is that what it is? Is it frustration? That's what I was going to ask.
That's how
I see
it.
Because he's done that against his New South Wales teammate as well, and reportedly a bloke that he's actually friends with. Yeah.
I love him. I do love him. I love everything about him, and I love what he does. I'm going to say something very controversial.
Bring it on.
I don't think he should have got a week. I think he should have got a fine.
Yeah, do you reckon?
Yeah, I think he should have got a fine because we go back and look at other things that happened throughout the year.
Yeah,
I know you're going to like me for this, but I actually don't think he should have got a week.
Okay,
I don't like sometimes how he attacks a game and what he does, but I also love more things about him that he does. And yes, as you could see, it looked like he was tiny a bit of intent by it, but nothing came about it. Yeah. Like it probably hit his back more than anything.
Yep,
and. You've got it. You've obviously got to hit these things, nip these things in the bud. But yeah, I think it should have been a fine. I don't think he should have missed a game. I mean, what's one game? I mean, there's probably been many situations we've seen throughout the year that should have been weeks, but Poyser got fined. So is it just because he's Latrell Mitchell that he got that?
Yeah, I mean, I've seen comparisons on social media drawn between the Jerome Luai shoulder charge into Big Nelson's face a couple of weeks ago, and he got $1,800 fine or something like that.
Yeah,
I can see where you're coming from.
And then there is like, we will probably say it is Latrell.
That's the reason.
But he's, you know, it's not his first offence, you know, in this situation where...
It's his first offence this year in that category.
But we know that he loves to get a little bit down and dirty. Yep. So that's probably where they get this from, you know. Like I said, there's a lot of punters are probably going to like me saying that. But, you know, I hate when people play him. I don't like playing against him. He's a competitor. I actually don't think it was terrible. I think he should have got a fine and I think he should have played on, which would have been great for the Rabbitohs fans because then he gets to come back not next week, this week, but the week after and try and
play
have a bit more
against
the Roosters because that's where we want to see him play.
Yep.
And I think sometimes we've got to take that into account, the NRL. Like, he's one of the biggest stars in the game and they're playing the biggest rival.
Yep.
Yeah.
It's hard to see him miss that one.
He's been around for a long time. He needs to figure out how to deal with his emotions in a moment. He's too big of a player. He's too pivotal to South to be doing things
and
like
he's
this,
too big
giving
of a role
away
model.
Penalties
he's
and
too
being
big of a role
off.
Model as well.
Absolutely.
Like, fine or not fine, like he probably could have got three. That could have been a $3,000 fine.
Yeah.
I would have been happy with that because it was obviously intent. It didn't get him the way he wanted to.
Yeah.
But you've got to go, well, it's on report. And they go, well, it's going to be a fine. I know then when he gets the fine, people will blow up about that. He shouldn't have got a week.
Sure.
But there's a lot of ways you could look at it. Sometimes he's a grub.
Mm.
But I love how he plays again. Like, I want him in my side.
Yeah.
A guy like him, I want him in my side. So
absolutely.
That's my piece on that.
I agree. Now, Jarrell, you and I have already spoken about this week. Obviously, we did ask South's a bit shit on unpopular opinions.
Yes,
no response when I tagged you in that one yesterday.
Didn't
what
you say,
happened?
I posted
it. Just a disappearing thing. I want your opinion. Why are they so shit? No. Anyway, I thought I'd bring back comments in response this week.
Beautiful.
It's been a little while since we've done that. Wade Ehrlich said, they never were a contender.
All right, Wade.
Turn off your device, Wade, and go to bed.
Darren Waller said they are gone. We tend to agree with quite clearly. Yep. Michael Ansell said the eighth spot will come down to the Book of Feuds game, which is outstanding. That's, just wanted to reference the Book of Feuds there.
Nice.
Now, these last two I've put in because they were just absolutely wild. The first one, Glenn Kirk said Souths are poo emoji.
Yep.
Latrell, worst player in NRL history.
Wow.
Okay. And they are in all sorts, and he's just written bye at the end of the comment.
Mike, we should have put a little emoji, Mike.
And then Bob Marriott, I don't know if he's mistaken Neds for a media organisation, but he said, media faves, no one else's. You don't win comps after eight rounds. You media scumbags know this, but you still push out your bullshit.
He sounds like a boomer. Wow. Yeah, true. He sounds like a boomer.
I wouldn't mind. I can't remember looking, but I wouldn't mind betting a Ford Falcon was his display picture as well, to be honest. All right. Anything else you want to say about your bunnies?
No.
Are you looking forward to the game in a couple of weeks?
It's going to be a cracker. Yeah. I'm interested to see how the boys respond with Latrell not on the field.
And the game on the end there, season on the line.
The game on the line, you know.
The season on the line.
Yeah,
you know?
I think so.
I wonder how they're going to respond to that because, you know, if they slip inside, you know, do you think still they go far? Because I don't think so.
Oh, yeah. Like I said before, I think there's the equal amount of chance that they'll turn it on in round 27 and win as I think there is a chance that they can go deep into the finals. Like, sure, there's a chance, but I mean, there's so many other good teams in great form right now. You'd be a very, very, confident betting man if you were to back the Bunnies from here.
Yeah.
Be interesting to see, though, wouldn't it? Because there has been a couple of instances recently. Cronulla, I thought they were gone for all money, honestly. They look really good. And the Knights, obviously, is a big one.
What
is doing?
Like we said last week.
I reckon it's the same as the Cowboys. I reckon Origin has switched on all of their players. I've never seen Bradman Best play so well, honestly.
Maybe we have seen Bradman Best play so well, but maybe he's just in the limelight at the moment because he has played Origin.
Maybe.
Blokes
feed off it as well.
I'm just saying Freddie might have, you know, they've already obviously seen his stats and maybe his stats have always been the same and maybe he's been doing this all along, but we've never noticed.
Yeah.
Because who really watched Newcastle on a Sunday afternoon?
That's true, yeah.
Like, sounding mean, but now we're, you know, they've gone seven on the trot. That's incredible.
Yeah.
I mean, well, I think Melbourne and Penrith are the only team that went 9 or 10 in a row.
11 maybe? Penrith?
Yeah, maybe they went 11. Yeah.
I just think Adam O'Brien's just got most, if not all, of that roster playing
to their potential.
Like, look at Phoenix Crossland. With all due respect, he's a reserve grade halfback at the start of this year.
Yeah.
He's now comfortably a serviceable, if not like quite a competent dummy half.
Yeah.
Like he's playing 80 minutes. His service is good. That little grubber kick he put in for Saifidi last week against South.
Yes. Yep.
Like that's great footy. If Cameron Smith or Harry Grant did that, we'd be talking about it here for 5 minutes.
Maybe they've just opened the book and he's just gone, just let him go.
Yeah.
You know, and at the start of the year, we were talking about Kalen Ponga playing in the halves.
Yeah.
Like, And not playing that well there, like, you know, but now he's playing fullback, chiming in as a half.
Yep.
He gets the best of both worlds. We get to see one of the best fullbacks do his thing, and I'm actually nervous making the finals.
They're exciting to watch.
That's exactly what they are at the moment. Yep. They're exciting football to watch. I purposely tuned in over the weekend. Mm. Like, I never would watch the Knights.
Mm. Yeah.
But I wanted to watch them over the weekend because they play an expansive footy, and it's beautiful to watch.
Yeah. Adam O'Brien, coach of the season, you reckon, Oscar?
No. We were 3 or 4 weeks ago, we were talking about him getting the arse.
I'm pretty sure we both said at the start of the season, in unpopular opinion, his first goal.
I did say that he would be and in my defence last year, the year before, I did get it right.
Yeah.
Not this year. And I'm happy to cop it on the chin. Because I did say at the start of the year, I don't like doing this segment. True. I don't like seeing coaches get the arse.
You take an each way bet with all of those, so you don't like doing
No,
those.
But I don't. I don't
I
like.
I love doing it.
That's why you're here, mate. Yeah. That's why you're here, all right?
All right, guys, let's move on to the Seagulls. I've got a couple of things that I need to point out, I think, here this week.
Chest,
of course,
mate.
The season is done for us.
Is it safe space?
Yes, it is. Let's start, though, with Chance Nicol-Klokstad's dog shot in the air on Ruben King.
All right, it's not a dog shot. Not a dog shot, but
over
it's not. not the right call. It's not the right call.
No.
It's not the right call. I had a lot of family over on the weekend, and unfortunately, I didn't see that game, but I seen what you boys put up on the. So I immediately went and did my research, and I was like, holy hell, cannot believe that didn't get to be given a penalty.
Yeah.
And not because I like you, just because I like rugby league.
Let me be clear here.
Not because I like you. I actually thought, how the hell did they not call that a penalty?
Yeah.
It's in a he's in a dangerous, completely dangerous. They don't need to change the rules. We get it. Everyone gets when the ball bounces at the, you know, you can't compete like that in the air and tape. But he's completely taken someone's legs out.
Yeah.
If Ruben Garrick had been stretched at all, it's a penalty.
Yeah.
Because they probably changed their mind mid moment.
Yeah.
But you know what? He got up and he played on.
Yeah.
Like now he's going to miss this week because he's got back problems.
He's confirmed this afternoon. Yeah. Fractured back.
Oh my God.
Yeah. Like it's, I just don't understand. I'm not sure how, as a referee, like I love this game, but some weeks they just ruin it.
Oh yeah,
I'm so sorry, Rich.
Yeah.
And all the listeners.
That's true,
but they do. They ruin it. And
eight
I never
sets every year.
Oh like, yeah. Like, I just never. And I don't like going to refs because it's a very hard job to do.
Yeah.
I get it. And we don't have a lot of them in the game.
Yeah.
But that was a terrible call, and it's Manly's season on the line.
Yeah.
You know, for them to make the eight, and you know they've got a guy who you know we're about to talk about who's on a lot of money playing in that position in a halves position.
Mm.
Probably shouldn't be, and it's. I think for Anthony Seibold, it's a tough for him to be in the first season and try and change something there. It's hard to do as a coach as well.
Yeah.
And those players are, they've been given a couple of bad calls Manly have over the last couple of weeks. You know, we talk about the week before with Penrith and the knock on that could have changed the game as well. This one, you know, they missed that last week as well.
Yeah.
Like it's. They're probably in the fight, closer to the fight for the eight if they don't have these bad calls against them. So, yeah, and like I said, I'm not saying it's because I like it, but I think it's a terrible call. I think it's in the heat of the moment. You're in New Zealand. You've got the crowd behind you. It's a tough call to make, but he needs to make that. That's why these refs get put in those positions.
Yeah. All right, well, let's move on to that bloke that you just touched on there as well. Josh Schuster, of course, he signed a big money extension to stay at the Seagulls earlier this season, but he's been sensationally dropped for the round at 26 sites. Just love your first thoughts on this, Oscar.
Yeah, I mean, if I was a Manly fan, I would be screaming into my pillow right now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why do you think I should be, though?
Well, I mean...
Where's the pillow, actually?
I
just don't understand how in such a short span of time you can go from extending a guy for 850K to dropping him to reserve grade when... And I haven't seen every minute of him play over the last month, but from what I've seen, he's not playing... you know, that much worse or better 4 weeks ago than he is now. Like, it seems to be a lot of the same for Josh. And I'm just surprised that if they were willing to take a punt on him a month ago, what's changed now?
A lot of the blow-up that I have read over the last couple of days is, oh, he did absolutely nothing in that game against the Warriors. Let's face it. He got 20 minutes.
Yes. Yep.
We're now in a position where we're not fighting for anything.
Yep.
And we've got him on this enormous contract.
Yep.
Why aren't you just giving him minutes in the position that he's going to play next year?
Well, I'm gonna say from a I'm just going to look from a coach's perspective. It's going to probably send him a message.
Okay. So, well, that was what I was going to ask next. Yeah. Is it because he is just not, he's got a bit of the Latrells about him, you know, he's just not really turning
up. Yeah, I think it might be, maybe it might be deeper, maybe he's not listening to what they're giving in to him at training. Maybe they're not, you know, and I don't like going down this, you know, route, but is he eating the right food? Is he losing the weight that they want him to? Is he coming every day at the right weight? Is his skinny's dropping? You know, that's that stuff. And if you're in season, like you, that stuff gets managed. I'm not saying that's what's happened, but you've got to understand there's got to be more to it. Because I don't think, like knowing Siebes as well, I don't think he, because he's given all the, like, why would he drop him now? You're right. But I think it's a send a message, you know, to him to say.
It must be.
It has to.
No other reason.
Because they're not, well, I mean, what? Are they going to try and palm him off? Like, you know, do you
sign resign him 6 weeks
ago. Well, I mean, it's not a bad coup because, I mean, if he's on 850, the only reason they give him that is to stay.
Mm.
So then they have to try and palm him off because he's not performing at the rate. And in this day and age, you can. It will happen.
Yeah.
I think I get angry about it because when clubs want players gone, they're gone skis. But when the player wants to go...
Yeah.
They stand their ground.
Yeah.
So it's a bit of double standards again. I mean, the Ben Hunt situation at the start of the year. So I think it's a message. At the moment, it's a message. Do we see him, you know, would you still like him to be at Manly?
I think so. Yeah. I think, honestly, since he's, I mean, I know I asked the question quite a lot earlier in the season, but I think the potential upside, and with someone like Brooks coming in to take a bit of the pressure off, I would like to see at least next year what he can do, because he's clearly got talent more than most other players in the league.
Well, I think he's going to be an $850,000 lock or a back rower.
Yeah.
So that's where it's going to be.
Well, that's
And which is in this day and age is not it's not wrong because we've seen David Fita sign for 1.2. You know, there's other players who are on close to 900,000 as well who play back row. He's obviously, when we've said this before, he's got some great ball skills about him, and that's natural. But I think the thing that doesn't come natural to him, and it's hard, and we did speak about this earlier in the year, organising teams, you know, remembering plays and what you got to do, that stuff comes natural to halves. And I'm just, maybe it's just not natural enough for him to do that. So I think it's still a big plus if they keep him around, because you've got a ball-playing back row, a lock that can do all those things, that just doesn't have to have all the stuff in his head.
And Manly have typically built their squad with a ball-playing back rower as well.
Yeah, definitely.
Jake Trbojevic, Anthony Watmo
Think it's better, because the day and age that we've moved into, Jake Trbojevic is a fronty these days. He tackles, he runs, he gets quick play of the balls. Like, that's the guy you want, and you need a big engine room, and Jake Trbojevic is that. So I think it's a message to Schuster saying, you know, you're not disposable. We can get rid of, we can put you on the bench and sit you on the bench. No, we're not going to like it, but that's where he sits at the moment. And because there's no games left, they don't really care. They can't get in there now. He's just going to have to sit out the last year. Who wants to not play first grade for the last 2 weeks and then have to go to Mad Monday with all your mates?
Yeah,
you know what I mean? That sucks. Yeah. So it's a message to him, I reckon.
Can I play devil's advocate?
Yep.
Flip it on the other side. Is it poor coaching from Anthony Seibold and the Manly's coaching staff? They're putting him in positions that he's either not equipped to do well at, or putting in positions that he shouldn't be playing in anyway. And then when he's not doing things that they're asking him to do that are perhaps unreasonable, then they're just dropping him out of first grade. I'm not saying that's it.
Yeah.
But maybe in Josh's defence, maybe that's coming from the other side.
Yeah,
and
that's maybe where Josh is maybe not mature enough to go, I don't want to do that.
Yeah, true.
You know, so he might be mature enough and have the balls to stand up to the coaching staff and say, oh, I don't feel comfortable doing that.
Yep.
Maybe he's just doing the best for the team, what he thinks and the coaches think are the best for the side. Because some people are like that. Mm. Some players are like that. He doesn't seem like an outspoken young man.
Yeah.
He seems like a guy who's pretty reserved and
introverted.
Yeah, introverted, and will do what they think is best for the side.
Yes.
So maybe that's what's happening as well. There's a lot to come with it, but the best thing is you're going to get another half, you know, come in.
Yeah.
He's bringing his Weber that got given to him as well. So that's a bonus. I don't think Manly have a barbecue, actually.
That's outstanding. Well, they do now.
That was,
I don't know. Can this club not do anything right?
Yeah.
What is doing there?
Yeah.
They've even engraved it. You know how much oil's going to get on that? He's not going to see it.
It was a beef eater or
whatever it was. I cook every day on my barbecue. If I engraved mine... I'm leaving. Send me to the bush.
Yeah.
Like, I'm not coming back. What are they doing?
So
give the
bizarre.
Man a ring or something. Like, give him jewelry.
It's just the most on-brand thing ever, isn't it?
That's ridiculous. And now their board members come out. I love that we're going to the Tigers.
It just
they come out and they're suing a podcast, a fan.
Oh, no.
A fan.
Are they really?
They're suing
a podcast.
I don't know what it is. But they're coming out and they're saying, oh, we're getting the papers ready. We're going to do this. What's his old mate with the shit hat on? I don't know.
Oh, you're suing a bloke who literally spends their life supporting your club.
Yeah.
And they just have differing views to you. So,
they are just in the toilet.
Yeah, they need to. Like, their best thing that ever happened to them in the last couple of years was Abby Corrissau's kick from the sideline last week.
Yeah. Or them entering an NRLW team.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's
your team. You're wearing their colours today.
My girls.
Yeah. The Tigers. I knew you'd convert.
Like they're your daughters or something. Oh, my girls.
Well, this is a bit of an accidental segue in here, because the last point that I had to make here was they've signed Aiden Caesar. Is that a good signing for the West Tigers?
Has that been confirmed?
Apparently,
yeah.
Well, so I've read.
Didn't he leave the NRL because he wasn't good enough? I love when this happens.
I'm not qualms about Aiden Seathers.
I'm assuming that he's absolutely starred in the Super League, though, because
he's
often
been going well.
Those
sorts
of fringe halves go really well over there. Remember Michael Dobson that played for the Raiders? Mm-hmm. Hardly got a run.
How bad must the Super League be?
Yeah.
Brody Croft.
Yeah.
But he got Man of Steel.
Yeah. Jake Clifford's another good example. I think he's going to kill it next year back at North Queensland.
Yeah.
He wasn't ready a few years ago.
Yeah,
but
true.
It's a perfect place for a young half to develop. Aiden Caesar, not a young half who needed to develop. I don't hate it, but there's probably not many other better options out there for them, is there?
Yeah, okay. So that's why I was asking, is this the sort of halfback that a team like West Tigers should be targeting? I suppose they should just be targeting anyone, shouldn't they?
Yeah. I mean, they've got Latu Fainu, who is obviously their plan in the future, but he's not ready to lead a team around.
Adam Dewey.
And Adam Dewey's... I really love Adam Dewey.
But he's so injury prone. Like, I just feel so sorry for him.
Yep.
Like, he just can't get a full year out.
Yeah.
And that is devastating because it looks like when he does play, he personally is hitting his straps.
Yes.
By the team around him. Like, he might be another guy that needs to leave there.
Yeah.
Maybe, I don't know, when you have, you know, smoke, there's fire, and injuries at a club, when you keep getting them, maybe they're not giving him the right training, you know, regime.
Mm.
Maybe he needs to go somewhere else to see something different. I mean, it's just for him, I don't know. But he is a, you know, he's a star there, and he's a...
He reminds me of Stephen Crichton, the way he plays.
Yeah, yeah. He's,
cover center, he's
a
fullback,
big,
5'8".
Strong boy, and we just see why he's in the NRL.
Yep.
I don't know where the Tigers... If they come last next year, do they get... The arse.
Jesus.
It's a big call, but I'm just saying, like, what do we do with them? You can't have a side that comes last every year. Yeah.
And you look at the teams around them, like, we can expect I'm certainly expecting the Dragons to improve with Shane Flanagan.
Yeah, definitely.
I'm expecting the Titans to improve with Desi. I'm expecting the Dogs to improve once they get
all
a full
their players.
Full strength squad.
And have we seen Benji being like Benji's like a friend of mine, but it's like. Has Tim Sheens really been running the ship, or has it been Benj?
Yeah.
Like, I don't... They haven't really had a lot of injuries this year, have they?
No. It's like, obviously, Dewey,
Brooks.
Like, those are pretty important players. Dane Laurie was their starting fullback to begin the year. He's been injured.
He's gone back to Penrith.
Yeah.
Didn't Peach go back there as well? Yeah. Now look at him. He's starting centre for. He's in the centres for. Yeah. I don't know. My grandfather's a big West Tigers, so is my uncle, but... they're just wasting time week in and week out. Like, they're ruining this podcast.
We don't want to be sued by them.
Careful, Lee Hadjipantelis will be coming knocking.
There's areas on form on Sewing Podcasts. All right, let's move away from
that. Let's do that.
Three teams are pretty much locked in the top three. The Panthers, the Broncos, and the Waz.
Up the Waz.
What is that?
Yeah, yep. Wow.
One spot up for grabs there. Yes. And on the blog this week, Oscar, you sort of dug into the four sides that could win into the top four.
Well, I did something similar a few weeks ago in terms of the road into the top eight. And made myself look pretty stupid because the Rabbitohs have gone off that road and gone somewhere else.
We've all been there.
But yeah, four teams vying for the fourth spot and the all-important second bite of the apple in the final series. Melbourne, obviously, at the moment in fourth position. They're in the box seat to get there, 34 points, so 2 points clear of Canberra and Cronulla. I wrote in the blog, it hasn't been, and we've spoken about this year, hasn't been a characteristic season for the Melbourne Storm.
Yeah.
I think a good evidence of that is Marion Seve and young Tonomapea coming into the side in round 22.
Yeah.
Like, Craig Bellamy knows the importance of combinations and cohesion, and I think that's a really good example of this being a different season for them.
Mm.
Even in a different season, though, they've still been there or thereabouts all year. Fourth now on the ladder. They're getting Ryan Pappenhausen back maybe this week or next. Mm. Can you guys check, actually, if he's been named in the squad? So, yeah, they've got the Titans this weekend, and then they head up to Brisbane to take on the Broncos in round 27. They need to win both games to guarantee top four. I think they can still sneak in with one win and rely on their 137-plus points differential. So, yeah, the Storm, they're hitting their straps at the right time of the year, I think, especially their forwards.
Yeah.
Team lists have been pushed back. They're not out right now at the moment.
They're teasing us.
Yeah, they are teasing us right now.
We'll come back to that.
We'll be right.
Cronulla in fifth. 4 weeks ago, we talked about Cronulla being on the slide and out.
Incredible.
A massive turnaround for them, particularly in defence. The numbers are stark. They've conceded just 9.3 points over the last 4 weeks and scoring 31 themselves. There's a lot that goes into those numbers, but I think their dominance in yardage has been a big reason for that.
Yeah.
They've ran for an average 1,900 metres per game in the last few weeks, which is better than what Penrith average over a whole season, and they're the best yardage team in the comp. So they're dominating in field possession, which is restricting opposition try-scoring chances and then creating heaps more for themselves. They've had 10 players in the last three games run for over 100 metres.
Good Lord.
10 of 17.
10?
Yeah. Compared to, you look at the Rabbitohs last week, I think there was 3.
Jeez.
So that gives you an idea of
as a unit,
like collectively, they're winning their individual battles.
Wow.
They're earning better, more field position. And then Nico Hines and Connor Tracy's averaging 220 metres a game, just relishing an extended opportunity in first grade. So, yeah, really, really happy for the Sharks. We've talked a bit of shit about them this year, as everyone has, but they're putting away sides that we don't expect them to put away. So, yeah, it's good to see for the Sharkies. Canberra, amazing that they're in sixth position.
I can't believe it. Like, they have flown under the radar. Mm. Have they not?
Yeah.
Absolutely. Like, I blinked and I was like, they're in fourth.
Yeah. I had them sitting at like 13th or 14th.
I think I had them ninth, but I didn't see them going this well.
Yeah.
Well, they've got an average winning margin this year of 5.3 points.
Yeah, okay.
So from 11 wins or whatever it is that they've had, averaging less than a try.
Sneaking home.
To sneak home. For some context, you look at the numbers, like we said, they've got a minus 108 for and against at the moment.
Yeah.
Which is historically unseen. Yeah, or
if you've got a minus 100, historically you don't make the eight. Mm. And they're sitting in fifth.
Sixth.
Sixth. Yeah. That's incredible.
There are six teams currently below them on the ladder who have scored more points this season.
Yeah.
What? And there are six other teams below them on the ladder who have a better defensive
record.
What does
that say? What does that say about the competition?
It says it's tight as. And it just says, like, Raiders have won a lot of games this year that they haven't won in the past. Like, you look at Jamal Fogarty's kicked 2 or 3 field goals to win games this season. Great player, but he doesn't consistently kick those field goals.
No. Yeah.
So they've done a great job. I think it's a bit of a long shot for them to sneak in, but they are still the same, a mathematical chance of sneaking in. And then the most mathematical of all is the bloody Newcastle Knights, who can still finish fourth if they win both games and if a couple of other results go their way.
Imagine if the Knights finish the regular season in the top four. Yeah, the Knights.
Beggars belief.
Oh, wow.
I mean, you wouldn't want to go and play a home final there.
No.
That would be hard. It'd be hard.
Yeah.
Because the faithful down there at Steel City, they'd be like,
they love it.
They're crazy.
Yeah.
They've been drunk all
better than Lego. Yeah. Week. Oh, yeah.
The bender's been happening 7 weeks now, I think it is, isn't it?
Yeah. The pubs are running out of beer.
Yeah.
I think, statistically speaking, they're probably very unlikely to make the four from here, but of these four teams, they're playing the best footy right now.
Easily.
If it was an even race, I'd probably pick the Knights to finish ahead of Melbourne, Cronulla and Canberra, which is just a wig out if you think about it.
Oh, yeah.
But yeah, Caelan Ponga, I think, is in career best form, and similar to what I spoke about with the Sharks, the Knights are winning a lot of the yardage battles at the moment, dominating field position and possession. So yeah, it's a hell of a race into the top four. I think Melbourne will get there, but I won't be surprised if Cronulla maybe sneak in too.
Okay.
What about the NRLW? We're pretty much halfway through the regular season there as well. Anything you want to touch on this
week? Just over halfway, yeah. 9-round season. We're up to round 6. NRLW's been going well in the open groups. Mm. We've hit on 9 of the last 10 NRLW games.
Okay, get that.
So if you're listening, punters, get into the Neds open group.
I'm telling everyone about open groups, like I've been telling everybody.
Yeah.
Hopefully they'll be
get in there.
Cashing in.
Yeah.
I'm going to be putting out a preview for round 6 tomorrow, so on Wednesday. But just wanted to give a couple of players a shout out from round 5. Jada Taylor came back for the Cronulla Sharks, the fullback. She's only 19 or 20. She's played 3.
Pocket rocket.
She is a pocket rocket.
She got shot out of a cannon.
Did you watch that?
Oh, my God.
Yeah. So she's swinging out swinging out the back of shape just like a regular fullback would. Doesn't look like anything's on, and then she just explodes up to life. And bit of footwork.
Just makes the fullback look silly.
Yeah.
Like, planted, just didn't know where she was going. And, I don't think I could have tackled her.
It was.
Do you know what I mean? Like, she was that good.
Mm.
She was that good. That's how good that step she put on the fullback was.
It's just, like, her acceleration is just alarming.
Yeah.
I talked about the Sharks last week perhaps being a little bit better than their 2-2 or their 1-3 record suggests.
Yeah.
They won by 40 points in round 5.
Yeah, okay.
And Jada Taylor was super involved in a lot of their attacking actions. So it's great to see her back. Like I said, she's only very young. She's only played 3 or 4 NRLW games so far, but she's stamping her claim. You know, there's some very good fullbacks in the game. Tamika Upton, Corbin Baxter's doing a really good job. Ivania Polite. But yeah, Jada Taylor's one to watch. A little bit nerdy areas, but I noticed the Parramatta Eels, who have been really struggling to start the year, they put on a really nice reverse block shape on the weekend. So we got your normal block where there's a lead runner cutting in and the fullback sweeping out the back. And then I've talked about the fake block on here at times this year where they hit the lead runner short and the lead runner turns and passes to the fullback, so you use both options. The reverse block, you set up in the same shape, but the lead runner actually goes out and the fullback straightens up. And so the Parramatta used their back row. I think her name's Mahalia Murphy, bounced out. She dragged the defender out with her, and then Abby Church was able to shoot into that space created. So I liked seeing that from the Eels, whose attack's been pretty poor this year, but they're building. Taryn Aiken, who I've talked about a lot on this podcast, I mentioned maybe 2 weeks ago that she'll probably win the Dally M this year, and I can't imagine a world where she's not in the top three. Some of the variety of Aitken's involvements, the best comparison I can make to the NRL is what Cody Walker was doing in 2021, where on any areas of the field, she was producing some sort of tri-assist pass. She's killing it down the left edge with Isabel Kelly. She's sweeping over to the right, running herself, throwing Harbour Bridge passes over two defenders. She made a line break in her own half last weekend, looked around for support. She was too bloody quick for any of her teammates, so she's just kicked and chased and planted it down in the in goal. So Aitken's killing it. And then last but not least, Georgia Hale for the Gold Coast Titans. I mentioned a couple of weeks ago, a defensive workhorse. She's now made 243 tackles this year for two misses.
Two misses?
In five games, that, she's averaging...
That's a ludicrous stat.
Yeah.
That is a ludicrous
stat. I will happily say this and not embarrassed at all. I've never made 243 in my whole entire life. life. Like, I'm really? Talking... I don't think so.
Yeah, right. Okay, wow.
That's... That is unheard of.
Yeah, averaging 40 a game and 0.3 misses a game or something. So, yeah, she's killing it. Shout out Georgia Hale. Yeah.
There's no updates. It's been pushed back to all the team lists. I don't know why, but when it comes through, you'll be the first to know, gentlemen.
With all the stats, trends, and betting you need to know, this is The Offload.
Ryan's done us a real solid here. He could have just bailed without doing anything. It is a mark of the bloke.
Better than what Liam did.
Yeah, absolutely.
Have we got old mate back again? I forgot his name. Is that his name Liam?
Yeah, Liam, I think.
Is he back next week?
By all accounts, he's supposed to be back next week.
Oh, so. He looks like he's gallivanting around Australia.
He's at the zoo today. Right as we record right now, he's in Adelaide. So.
Oh, he fit right in there then.
Yeah. He's one of the exhibits. Anyway, if you get out, Liam, we'll see you next week. Let's kick off with Don't Argue 2. Game two from the same. Oh, jeez. What a good I probably should have looked at this before we came.
No. This is great for us.
Don't argue. Two from the same game this week. Of course, it was the Warriors and Manly game. First, Dallin Watene Zalesniak. A hat trick of tries against Manly.
Let's go.
It was $12.50 for a hat trick of tries there. I think that's a little bit short,
that
to
is
be honest.
Short. That is short.
Yeah, well, he's now scored a try in 11 of the Warriors' last 12 games.
Gosh.
He's just on fire. That looking one where he got the ball from Johnson and took it solo rather than just planting it down on the sideline.
Yep.
It's one of the better tries that I reckon he scored in his career. Yep. It was absolutely
He's the best finisher in the game.
And you watch the stadiums where he's playing at, the corner where he scores is packed, full of fans.
They know.
Flocking there.
They know.
It's outstanding. He's a very, very good watch. Now, they are, of course, playing the Dragons on Friday night, the Warriors, and the last time they clashed, Dallin Watene Zalesniak scored 4 tries.
Yep.
It's happening again. Round 17.
What's he got this week?
Do you want to... Hey, what do you mean? What's the price? Don't have the price here, Ryan.
No.
So just bloody put it in next time, would
you? Ryan. I like him for a double.
Do you like? Do you want to revisit who you think will top the try scoring?
Well, I think is it tied now? Asako, Dallin, AJ.
Dallin over the
21?
Weekend. Yeah,
interesting. Yes.
I think Dallin. I hope Dallin might get it from here. We'll
every
see.
Run to the finish line is
so. Hold on, is there,
here,
is there,
it?
Can I? Is it the most tries scored in a regular season.
Okay.
Cool.
Same game. Jason Saab scored his own hat trick all in the first half. $81 for a hat. He was.
Was
anyone on that? Eight punters.
Yes.
One bloke had $25 into more than $2,000.
Oh, no. Well done.
Sorry to the open groups there, by the way. I put, you would have seen this, Oscar. Yes. I put a same game multi on in there, which was Seagulls at the line.
Yep.
They should have won the bloody game. God damn it. I think who was one of the Dallin with Tenny Zelezniak anytime. And then I hovered over Saab and I'm like, no, I'm gonna go Kohler here. Granted, Kohler was paying a little bit more. That was probably what tempted me in, but then Saab comes out and scores.
Always go with your first instinct.
Yes. Should have, Gerald.
Never hover.
Punters pals, Joseph Suaalii, handy double against the Eels last week, and that was his first double of the season.
Wow,
actually.
Really?
Yeah, wouldn't have expected that. No. Mind you, he did have a few dead patches there.
Yes.
He'll get plenty of the Dragons next year, don't worry.
Suaalii has now scored in five consecutive games with the Roosters as favourites.
Okay.
He's $3.20 to score two or more tries this weekend.
Okay.
Interesting. Who are the Roosters playing?
Tigers.
Okay. Oh, I could do that. All right. Alisa Katoa, crucial try-scoring double, both within 5 minutes of each other against the Dragons last Saturday night. For whatever reason, he loves playing St. George. Because everyone surely loves playing against St. George.
Because it's the reason. Because it's Talatau Amone or Jaden Sullivan that he's running out.
Katoa has scored a try in four straight games against the Red V now. $8.40 for him to score two or more tries this week. Greg Marzieu, he has been absolutely outstanding. One of the unsung heroes of the Knights, in my opinion. I think he should get a call up to the Kiwis at the end of the year, but it's a bit of a stacked back line now, isn't it?
Is he a Kiwi?
He is a Kiwi, yeah.
Yeah, you can't fit him in.
I'll say he got made look very, very good over the weekend. Kalen Ponga made him look
very, very good.
Well,
I think he's benefiting.
You could have scored his three tries.
Settle down. And there's a lot of my son could have scored those three tries.
I could have scored Dallin with Henny Zalesniak's really good one on the weekend, all right? Bad example.
Wait, so you'd have him in on the Kiwi side?
Yeah.
Dallin and him?
Well, I would pick Dallin and him.
So you're leaving out Mulatalo or Asako?
Yeah, and I have a feeling they'll try and shove Rapana in there as well. Or so Rapana. It's a pretty
Asako will stay because he'll be the goal. They'll want him to.
They've got SJ.
Good goal kickers are hard to find. So.
You reckon they'll pick a saga?
I reckon they will.
Makes for a very interesting test match at the end of the year, though, doesn't it? All right, Greg Marzieu, first half hat-trick of his... Oh, there's a lot of hat-tricks last weekend, wasn't there?
A lot of hatties.
First half hat-trick against Souths. $21 he was to score that against Souths. What a great watch that was. Marzieu has now scored a try in six of the Knights' last seven games. Makes sense. God. Most of that back line is scoring every week. Yep. If you're not first, you're last. Not a huge week for first try scorers, other than the Titans game, of course. Cleese Haas, $51 against Penrith. And there were a few punters on it. Apparently, the biggest bet we had on that was $10. So the bloke turned $10 into $500.
Nah, that's great.
Don't hate that good at getting. All. Yeah, that's the kind of bet that I'll be putting on, to be honest.
Me too.
Futures, there was a few firmers. Of course, the Sharks did get out to $51 at one point a couple of weeks ago. Mm. They're back into $19.
Oh, hell.
After that, Roosters $67 into $51 after last week. And the Knights, their firms continued too. Now, he's got $34 into $23. I actually saw before they're into $19. And one notable drifter last week. Can you guess who it was? The Rabbitohs, $14 out to $34.
Oh, jeez.
Bye-bye.
All right, the incorrect groundings are the multis that lost by one leg.
Yep.
One of my favourite segments now, so I'm glad that I can present it. $10 into almost 14,758.
No. 14,000?
Yeah, so it was $10 into what would have been.
And you missed by one.
Missed by one. It was a four-legger as well, and it was, so what he got, Aaron T. Oh, okay. So it's across different. It's different across codes. A few different codes. There's horse racing in here.
Oh, I like that. So
that is ballsy.
He nailed Aaron T. Punters, I'll tell you. I tipped that one in the Nets Racing Open Group as well. Aaron T. to win race eight at Doomben. He was paying $6.50. He had Semi Valenai first, second, or third try scorer.
Ooh.
Ronaldo Mulatalo first half anytime try scorer.
Wow.
And he needed Scott Drinkwater to score two tries.
Oh, you got one.
Did he get one?
He did get one.
That's
pretty
crook. Yuck. Well, that could have been $10 into $15,000. Bloody good odds. $2 into $82.
Yeah.
I like seeing this sort of stuff.
Survive. I don't want to eat noodles this week. That's what this is.
Exactly. Well, what was exactly $41 was the Sharks to win by exactly 20 points.
Wow, that is.
Against the Cows.
What?
I'm tipping that was the only bet on that.
It's $2.
$2, throwaway for, nice little steak down the pub. Yeah. $25 into $1,675 was the Warriors to win by exactly seven.
What?
$67
Who is betting on the same person?
Exactly seven.
Yeah. Same person. He's used the 82. He's taken 25 out of the 82.
Yeah, you're right.
There is. You can kind of pull this one apart. He's expected the try and then SJ to slot a field goal at the end, which is exactly what happened.
Man, so geez.
You can see that one materialising. $10 into $1,010. Billy Burns to score two tries.
What?
Well done. 100-1 Three punters were on.
Wow.
There's a great there's a great meme going around on the socials. It's a what's his name? Billy Burns, apology form, and you have to fill out the reasons why you wrote him off and like the reason. Yeah, it's good
That's
stuff.
That's excellent. Good stuff. All right, Mad Multis, $20 into $42,000.
No!
So this one lobbed. Seven leg, same game, anytime try scorer multi on the Titans-Panthers game.
What?
David Fifita, Dylan Edwards, Tom Jenkins, Liam Martin, Alofiana Khan-Pereira, Isaiah Yeo, and Stephen Crichton.
Where? Awesome. That is amazing.
That's surely
that's just, life-changing.
That's just the try scorers, right? Did anyone else score on top?
That's life-changing.
Yeah, that is absolutely incredible. Hats off to that punter. You are the punter of the week. Let's nominate a punter of the week every week.
Yeah,
that guy.
It's definitely not me.
His name was Billy, I think.
Yeah. O'Panafet. No.
wasn't me.
Yeah.
You would have heard about it.
I don't think he'd be here.
You definitely would have heard about it if I hit that.
Yeah, true.
Finally, don't tell the miso. 12K Cowboys head-to-head versus the Sharks.
No.
10K. Oh, well, this is your problem. Betting on the Eels at any rate. 10K on Parramatta head-to-head against the Roosters. Leave me out of that.
Why would you do that?
$10,000 on the Bulldogs head-to-head versus Canberra.
Top
six side Canberra.
Stop.
And finally,
send that man some help. Find out who it is.
These people would have to be on benders doing this.
And finally, Oscar gave half of his 42K back, 19K on the Rabbitohs head-to-head versus Newcastle.
I was confident we were going to win last week, but I was not that confident.
We've done it. We've done the offload.
That was easy. Just
three blokes doing the offload.
Liam, if you're listening, stay on holidays, mate.
See you, mate.
Yeah. We don't need you.
The Neds NRL Punting Podcast Multi.
It's been a while since we backed a winner here, guys, and it's a bit of a slap in the face when we talk about how much green, certainly in the NRLW. Maybe we should be going to the NRLW for multis.
I almost went there this week, but that's right.
Well, let's see how this one goes. We might need to, well, certainly your leg, Oscar, mind you. I mean, who's been falling over? It's been a bit of an even share.
Yeah, we've been sharing.
Not been one person.
No.
It's been
no real standout. Whereas on the AFL one, it's Dylan every single week.
Oh, is it really?
Yeah. Well, frequently. Last year, there was, I don't know a lot about AFL, but last year, North Melbourne, I know, were coming last by an absolute space, and one week
he tipped
them to like win 40 plus or something like
that. This is the week, boys. This is the week.
Absolutely ridiculous. Let's get back to the NRL,
yep,
the real sport, and let's kick off our multi with you, Gerald.
Yeah, I've doubled in the game down there at Amy Park in Melbourne against the Titans.
Yep.
And I've gone over. I think it's going to be a blowout. I think there's going to be a lot of points scored in this game. I've gone over 49.5 for that game.
Imagine if Ryan Pappenhausen came back and scored multiple tries.
Well, he did over the weekend for the Sunshine Coast Falcons.
Yeah.
He scored three, didn't he? Two.
No, he kicked a lot of goals.
Oh, did he?
I don't know if he scored this weekend.
Oh, maybe he got three assists.
He scored a couple since
he's
been
back. Maybe he got three assists, maybe. But he's on.
He's moving well.
It would be really nice to see him back. And I think the right thing to do is bring him back out Amy Park. You don't want him travelling anywhere. You want him to feel comfortable for his first game back. It's been a long time. It's been over 356. Like, it's a long time.
Mm.
So, I mean, we haven't got the team list still yet, but it would be nice to see him. Yeah, so I've gone 49.5 in the Titans take on the Melbourne Storm.
A standard quote there, Gerald. $1.90 for that all day. Every day, good start. I'm up second this week. The Roosters keeping their finals hopes alive against West's Tigers.
Yep.
I thought the 13 plus in this at $1.72 was really good value.
Yeah, okay. Yep.
I think they'll just come out and brain them. I don't think West Tigers are playing for anything for the rest of the season.
But I hope Sam Walker's back.
Hey?
They're saying Sam Walker might be back for the Chooks, which would help your leg.
Yeah,
because they're missing Teddy this week.
Yeah, I think the fact that the Roosters are
HIA.
Playing.
Oh, that's right.
Yeah, I think the fact that the Roosters are playing Wests might help my leg as well.
Yeah,
so $1.72 for me. Third up this week, we are going to our producer because we don't have anyone doing the betting segments. Obviously, we need four legs. And Richard, our producer, has bet twice or three times on the AFL podcast and is yet to be defeated. All so right, we've drawn him. He's gone for the Broncos to win.
Nice.
$1.38 head-to-head. Yeah, it's a nice safe Rich. Leg, and it's a nice way to keep it alive. Thank you for that, Richard. Finally, Oscar, bring us home.
I'm anchoring again. Sharks Knights, I've gone either team by 12.5 or less.
Yep.
They're both jostling to finish higher up in the top eight. I think it's quite clear they'll both play finals footy this year. Both pretty much at full strength. I think it's going to be a cracking game. I'm not ruling out a field goal finish. So, yeah, either team by less than 1 to 12.
Easily the game of the round, that one. I think there's about five or six where it's $1.10 favorite plays against a $7.50 shot. And, I absolutely love that leg as well. Okay, Jarrell, over 49.5 points in the Storm Titans game, $1.90. I'm going the Roosters 13 plus over the Tigers, $1.72. Yep. Richard has gone the Broncos to win. Nice little $1.38 leg there.
Nice.
They are playing the Raiders in the nation's capital, but, one team's looking at a minor premiership, aren't they? So okay. I totally understand that.
Yep.
Finally, Oscar, you are going either team by 12.5 points or less in the Knights-Sharks game.
Yes.
$1.65 for that. Not sure if I said it just before. Those together, we're getting a $7.50 this week.
That's a good help.
We need one back.
We do need one back.
For the good guys.
We're going to hit every week of finals. But, it'd be good to get one there until we get there.
A little bit of confidence going into the finals.
We just wanted to, really make our run, great towards the end. So we've been holding off all year, punters. So stay with
us. And here it is. All right, punters, I'm going to put that one straight in the NRL Open group for your convenience. Otherwise, from Wednesday morning, it will be built for your convenience at neds.com.au or on the Neds app. That time of the week already. Where has the last 50-odd minutes gone?
Flown. Yeah, well, it's, things move faster in a threesome.
So I've learned today.
Sometimes slower.
Sometimes faster.
Didn't know I had the prowess to pull it off, but here we are.
Don't say that too many times. giggle.
Give us your final thought, Jarrell.
Well, I think, there's been a lot of chat about them over the year, and we do like to jump code a little bit here and there, but just want to say a massive congratulations to Matildas, number 4 in the world, previously number 11 in the world, so it's a big jump. To finish 4th in the world,
we're like a Knights NRL 2023 jump.
Pretty much.
A lot more impressive.
Yeah. To host the World Cup, I still even remember, 3 years ago when it was at the Opera House, where they were all sitting at the Opera House and they were waiting for the announcement of where the next World Cup would be. And, here we are. And, I just think they did a great job. In getting there. I mean, it's tough to beat a lot of those people in the world and to set yourself up for a grandstand finish. So happy England didn't win it, which is great. I just want to say a big congratulations to them. And a big congratulations to Nikki Webster as well, who are strawberry kisses. Yep. Not so much big congratulations to her singing, though, because it was shocking.
It wasn't that great.
And maybe she was just really excited.
Yeah.
But look, if she could bring back another rendition of a techno version of Strawberry Kisses,
be more auto-tune.
Then it might be good. So, but congratulations to the Tillys.
To be fair, I think the difference between that song being recorded when she was 12 years old,
true,
and then perform when she's in her mid-30s.
Is she mid-30s?
She would be. I think she's actually a year or two older than you and I.
Yeah. Well, you know what? That's funny you said, because I was at Blue Light Discos. I was dancing.
Yeah.
Actually, I was playing Tiggy. I wasn't dancing. Just touching people. In the most not inappropriate. Oh, my God. Let's move on. Oscar, what do you got for us?
I think we've got our name for the podcast. Oscar, what have you got?
I'm going to give a shout-out to, back to the NRL, Will Warbrick, has had a hell of a debut year in the NRL. First time playing, I'm sure he's played some rugby league before, but first time in the top grade. He was very raw when the year started. You could tell he's got the physical attributes, but he was still learning his craft. I think some of his footy over the last month has been, he's up there with some of the best wingers in the comp. He's strong in yardage, good aerial target. Some of his finishes have been Dallin Watene Zalesniak-esque. I think it's Craig Bellamy's done a hell of a job bringing Will Warbrick into
big
first
career
grade.
For him. He's got a long way to go.
He's quite young, isn't he?
Yeah, he's very young.
23 or something?
Yeah, so
he's a Pommy, isn't he?
No, he's
Kiwi. He's a Kiwi.
Kiwi.
I thought he was a Kiwi.
Yeah.
What happens in the Storm back line when Papenhuyzen comes back
question.
In and if he's fit?
It's a great headache. Yeah, I mean, like, it's not a bad thing.
Meany 14, I think.
Yeah, I think
that's going to have to be what it is.
Meany goes to the bench. I mean, yep.
You can't not pick Olam. You can't not pick Remus.
Well, no, Olam's been dropped.
Gonski's
Gonski got Gonski's 2 weeks ago. Okay. And I feel sorry for whoever died.
Club, I think.
Whoever died got tackled by him.
Tweed Seagulls versus Sunshine Coast Falcons when he got dropped back and they got.
Somebody come get him.
Yeah, right, okay. So he's going to a new club, is he? So we'll see him in a West Tigers jersey.
Yeah, I would.
I mean, the Bronx are chasing a centre at the moment.
Yeah,
he does look okay.
So, yeah, shout out Will Warbrick.
Yep.
Okay, what do you want to call it? I'm thinking perhaps barbecuing alone in honour of the...
yeah, the I think it has to be.
That's pretty good.
That's pretty good.
When did you come up with that?
The great James Lamey, James Maloney.
I just thought, for some reason, my mind immediately went there.
Well, we've talked about threesomes today and barbecues, so... And you were talking about pulling things, whatever.
It's all lining up, isn't it? All right, punters, thanks for listening to Barbecuing Alone. Enjoy the footy this weekend.
That's where I'm going now.
Having a bet, always remember it's a gamble responsibly. Soon,
thanks for listening to the Neds NRL Punting Podcast. Remember to like, subscribe, and leave us a review wherever you get your podcasts.
What are you really gambling with? For free and confidential support, visit gamblinghelponline.org.au.